Well, hey, Happy New Year, everyone. Man, I'm excited to enter into this new year and to bring God's word to you today to kick things off. We are starting a brand new sermon series called The Life God Blesses, and it's based off of a book by a fellow named Jim Cimbella. He's the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle. You ever heard of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir? Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Well, he's the pastor at that church. And as I was reading through this little book that I came across, God put on my heart to use it as an outline for our series. So over the next 6 to 7 weeks, we're going to be looking at this important message, I believe, from God to our church, the life God blesses. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word to us today. And Lord, I pray that as we fix our minds, God, on what you have to say to us today, Lord, that it would penetrate our hearts, Lord, our spirits, and that we would be changed by your word, God. You are the transformative God, Lord. Oh, Lord, we bless you and we thank you, God, for this time together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, to search, to imagine, to dream, well, that's part of what it means to be a human, isn't it? It's like we're all searching for something, something that'll bring us some purpose, some joy. We all want to drink from the fountain, so to speak. But for many of us, we don't want to know the source. And so often by our own devices, we fashion these cisterns, these idols of stone, only to find that they're broken and they cannot satisfy our souls. As you enter into 2020, I ask you, have you found what you are looking for? You see, spiritual emptiness is a problem for humanity. And we've wrestled with this sense of emptiness since the dawn of time. God created people with eternity in our hearts, the Bible says. And it's undeniable. It's this spiritual instinct within us. It's a deep longing. Paul echoed this truth when he said to the philosophers gathered in Athens, he said, God did this so that men would seek him, and perhaps people would seek him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your poets have said, we are his offspring. Yet as Paul describes in the opening chapter of his book to the believers in Rome, from Athens to Rome, he describes that somewhere along this wonder quest for God, we became futile in our thinking. And our conscience became hardened by sin, calloused. And it was like our conscience somehow jumped on the control board of our hearts and changed the coordinates. And we started searching for things that were dark in nature. Our pursuits became darkened. We exchanged the truth of God for lies, the Bible says. We traded purity for carnality, for the things of the flesh. We began to worship the created things and turn them into idols instead of worshiping our Creator. Well, the famous French scientist Blaise Pascal, one of the founding fathers of modern scientific methodology, wrote on this condition of the human heart and the inner longing for God. Listen to what Blaise Pascal said. What else does this craving and this helplessness proclaim but that there was once in man a true happiness, of which all that now remains is the empty print or trace, like trace of evidence? This he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there the help he cannot find in the things that are. Though none can help, since this infinite abyss can be filled only with an infinite and immutable, which means unchanging, object. In other words, by God himself. End of quote. There's a God-shaped vacuum within us that can only be filled by the person of Jesus Christ. So the bottom line truth is that we're created to enjoy God, to worship God, and that was forever etched on our souls, resulting in this inner restlessness because it only can be satisfied by God. We can't put the square peg in the round hole. The shape is in the shape of the cross, in the person of Jesus Christ. And he's the only one that can fill us with true meaning and true purpose and true joy. And that's the good news, that God desires to fill us. He desires to fill the void with himself through a relationship, a life-giving, day-to-day relationship with Jesus, the Son of God. This is the hope that we have. This is our hope in the gospel. God wants to give us the gift of eternal life with Christ. He wants to fill our emptiness. He wants to heal our brokenness. He wants us to have life. He wants it to be overflowing out of us, this life that Jesus gives. Jesus said, I am the light of life. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is life. He is eternal life. And he wants us to have it in the fullest measure. The fullest measure. As you think about 2020 and you think about this new decade that's before us, pursue life. Pursue life in Christ. He wants to fill us. He wants to enrich our lives. Well, I'll let you in on a secret. The eyes of the Lord are lovingly watching us. They are lovingly watching us. Examining us and searching us and testing us and looking for lives that he can bless. The eyes of the Lord, we're told by the Psalm 34, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ear is attentive to their cry. If you're wondering what to do and you're not sure what to pray, just cry out to God. Cry out to God. He knows your heart, even if it's just deep groanings coming out of you. If that's as articulate as you can be, that's pure honesty. Just, God, help me. Lord, help me in my helplessness. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, it says in Proverbs 15:3. Keeping watch on the wicked and the good. And then the prophet Jeremiah wrote, O great and powerful God, whose name is the Lord Almighty, great are your purposes and mighty are your deeds. Mighty are your deeds. Don't forget who made the universe. Don't forget who created the human beings and the vast array of the animal kingdom and all the ecosystems of this planet. Don't forget who made all these things when you enter into this new year, lest you become ungrateful and irreverent towards the God who made you. O great and powerful God, whose name is the Lord Almighty, great are your purposes and mighty are your deeds. Your eyes are open to all the ways of men and women. You reward everyone according to their conduct as their deeds deserve, says the prophet Jeremiah. So we see this biblical truth of God's desire to bless the faithful in a man named Asa. But as we will see, the Lord can grant his blessing and the Lord can take away his blessing as well. And so I want to spend some time in 2 Chronicles 14 through 16, I'm going to jump around in there. I've selected some passages, but I want to tell you the story about King Asa. King Asa. Well, he was the great grandson of King Solomon, and he reigned over the nation of Judah for 41 years, from 911 to 870 BC. 41 years. He had a long reign on the throne of Judah. Scripture tells us that he started off his reign well. And in 2 Chronicles 14:2, we read that Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He removed all the altars of idol worship in Judah on the high places, and God blessed him for his obedience. And Judah enjoyed a long period of peace and prosperity. He was longing for purity in his life and in the life of the nation that he was governing. But then God tested King Asa. The Lord tests us, folks. It's not because he's necessarily upset with us. Sometimes God allows the testing to come through his sovereign hands. Sorry, whatever buffets our life is ultimately through his sovereign hands. Sometimes it's the consequences of our own sins, but sometimes God allows us to go into the crucible to test us, to refine us, to purify us. And the only way that that happens is through the times of trial and testing. And so God was testing Asa, and he allowed this massive army of the Cushites, we're told in the scriptures, or some translations specify that nation as the Ethiopians, to mount an attack against Judah. However, Asa responded in faith in calling out to the Lord. And he said this, "Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this vast army, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against you." 2 Chronicles 14:11. Now, how did I get to 2 Chronicles 15:2 so quickly? Sorry. So, because Asa called out to the Lord acknowledged him, and he met his needs. Asa came to him in complete dependency. Again, when we come to the Lord, folks, we come and we say, "Lord, I'm dependent upon you. Lord, grant me my daily bread. Lord, bring healing to my body. Lord, bless my children. God, give me favor at my workplace. Lord, provide for me these things." And God's father heart is touched when his children come with this type of attitude of dependency and reverence. Not that we're not involved in the equation. We are. We are. God expects us to be faithful as well. But when we acknowledge God first, seek his kingdom first, he provides our needs. And so as Asa learned an important lesson, which was reinforced by this prophet named Azariah. And right after this great victory they had, Azariah came to King Asa and he said, "Listen to me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." And sometimes we struggle with this. We think it's so simplistic. You know, it's too binary, Pastor Darren. And I say, no, it's not. God makes some things very simple for us. There's good, there's evil. There's darkness, there's light. There's love, there's hate. Yes, those are spectrums, and along those things, there's different aspects to those conversations and those considerations. But don't be fooled. Don't be too wise in your own eyes. When something is wrong, it's wrong. If something's right, pursue the rightness in it. Pursue the truth. And Azariah lays it on the table for Asa. He said, if you seek him, you will be found by him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Amen. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Asa responded to God's word wisely. And he continued these religious reforms in Judah to eliminate idolatry. And we are told that Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord, but the transmission started to slip. His heart started to slip. What causes that in us? What causes that? Why do we start slipping, backsliding? Why do we lose traction in our Christian life? Because I think we take our eyes off the Lord. We take our eyes off the Lord. And that's what happened to Asa. He started to become wise in his own eyes. Well, I put this map together. And it's really, really simple. Okay, I'm going to point over here. You've got the divided kingdom. So you've got 10 tribes to the north. Samaria is the capital. And King Baasha at that time was the king of Israel. Then in the southern kingdom, you have Jerusalem as the capital. King Asa is the king of Judah. And then you have this nation up here called Aram. And King Ben-Hadad is the king of Aram or Syria. And Damascus is the capital. And I just point that out so that you'll have a frame of reference as I just move into this next portion of scripture that we read about in 2 Chronicles 16 and 15. And so once again, it was in the crucible of conflict where Asa's heart was tested. And in the 36th year of his reign, the king of the 10 northern tribes of Israel began to fortify this place called Ramah. And I spoke about this back in Advent, but Ramah was his border town right between the two kingdoms, just 8 kilometers north of Jerusalem on this road that went up to Samaria. And King Baasha starts to fortify Ramah. Why? Because he wants to prevent any of the believers from the north going down to Jerusalem to worship at Solomon's temple. And so he's cutting off the pilgrims so they can't worship. And he's doing this through by basically creating this fortified blockade in the town of Ramah. So instead of inquiring of the Lord, what does Asa do? Ah, I can handle this. I know how to take care of that king of the north. And so he took matters into his own hands. And he failed to inquire of the Lord. And this seasoned statesman paid King Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, he paid him to enter into an alliance with him. So the two agreed, and then Aram's forces attacked Israel in the north up here. Well, they're pouring energy and time down in Ramah up here. King Ben-Hadad is starting an attack. And so what does King Baasha do? He deploys all his troops up to the north and he leaves Ramah exposed. And Asa goes in and he takes over the town and he takes all the stones that were stockpiled there, all the timber, and he uses it for his own building. So at first glance, seems like Asa made a brilliant military and political decision, doesn't it? But in the eyes of the world, yes. But in the eyes of the Lord, no. And why was that? Because Asa failed to inquire of the Lord before implementing his plans. So as you're working on your New Year's resolution, or resolutions, or maybe just one. You've been around long enough just to say, I think I'll just focus on one thing, thank you. Whatever that is, go to the Lord and put it before the Lord. Roll out the maps on the table and kneel down before the Lord, so to speak, and just say, Lord, you know your plans for our lives. God, we want to do your will. And God will honor that. God will honor that if that is the true motive of your heart to see his will accomplished in your life. He will give you opportunities that would never arise if you hadn't consulted him. So Asa failed to inquire the Lord before implementing his plans. And it doesn't matter how successful we become in this life, if we're not pursuing God's will and ways for our lives, ultimately there will be a futility that casts a long shadow over our lives, and instead of experiencing God's favor, we will experience a sense of emptiness that I spoke about at the onset of this message. And this is precisely what became of King Asa, now this longtime enemy of Judah, had the upper hand on Judah. So Hanani persists in his rebuke, and he reminds King Asa of the battle of the Cushites, the Ethiopians, and how, despite their vastly superior army, God gave Judah victory because you relied on the Lord and he delivered you from your enemies. Then Hanani makes this incredible statement, and this statement out of Scripture in 2 Chronicles 16:9. Will serve as the key verse for this sermon series, The Life God Blesses. And here's this incredible statement. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to search and strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. To and fro. He's looking for people whose hearts are loyal, whose hearts he will strongly support. God had strongly supported King Asa, but because of the folly of his heart, God removed his blessing. And why? Because one and you're done? No. No. Because he failed to have a repentant heart. When we confess our sins, God says that he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God restores. He forgives. We're not forgotten by God when we come to him in repentance. But Asa didn't want to do that. And as a result, Judah was at war for the remainder of King Asa's kingship. Unlike his great-great-grandfather, who was David, who repented after the prophet came to him and rebuked him for his sin of murder and adultery, Asa was so deeply insulted by Hanani's rebuke that he threw him in prison. What did David do to Nathan? Did he throw him in prison? No. He was cut to the heart when he told him the story about how he had sinned against Uriah and Bathsheba. And he went into a deep, deep time of repentance and had a contrite heart. We have some of the most honest and raw and authentic Psalms in our Bible because of David's repentant heart, but not Asa. Not Asa. He threw the prophet in jail. And anybody in Judea that didn't agree with him, they were oppressed by him. And in the end, he died a horrible death. The Bible says that as his feet became diseased and it spread to the rest of his body. And even in the desperation of his illness, he refused to seek the help of the Lord. He would only consult physicians. Yes, when we're sick, we seek the general grace of medicine. That's the wise thing to do. But we also need to call out to the healer, the God who made us, and ask for his supernatural healing on our lives as well. It's both. It's the general grace of God's healing expressed through medicine, and it's the supernatural outpouring of God's touch on our lives that brings healing to our bodies whom he made. But Asa didn't want to do that, and we're told in the 41st year of his reign, he died. Asa is known as the king who had a great start, but didn't finish well because he stopped humbly searching for God. So when we think about a life that God blesses, we need to remember that God examines our hearts. The Bible tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God is, he is unchanging. And what was true in King Asa's day applies to us as believers in the 21st century as well. God is still on the search. He is still looking for the same things that he was looking for before. Not the things that captivate our minds and our hearts. He's not looking for more land and riches, and he doesn't even really need our companionship and our accolades. But what God is looking for is people whose hearts are fully committed to him. Not perfect, but people whose hearts are are seeking after the Lord and his kingdom. Notice that God is not looking for someone who's incredibly physical, right? I mean, and the mental talents, right? Or is this brilliant leadership? We're going to go. Let's take that hill. Or captivating beauty, right? He's not necessarily looking for those things. He uses them, but that's not what he's looking for. He's looking deeper. He's looking deeper. He's looking into our hearts. God revealed where his true interest lies. He did this 100 years before Asa ever stepped foot into that throne room that he ruled in Judah. When he sent a prophet named Samuel to a man named Jesse. And Samuel was there to look for the second king of Israel. The Lord sent him to the home of Jesse. And Samuel is so impressed by the oldest son of Jesse, Eliab. But the Lord spoke to him and he said, "Ha, do not consider his appearance, for his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart." In the end, it was David, Jesse's youngest son, whom God had chosen to anoint as the next king of Israel. What made David so special was his heart. It was his heart. It seems that all the faithful people of the scriptures had faithful hearts. They had noble hearts. Remember the parable of the sower? Talks about the four soils, representative of four different types of heart conditions. And Jesus says it's the noble heart that the word of God landed on and germinated and set down roots into and grew up and produced fruit a hundredfold. I hope that you want to have a fruitful 2020. I'm praying that God will make 2020 a really fruitful year here at Still Heights. A real fruitful year that we will continue to see people coming to Christ. That we will be growing and be equipped in our faith so that we're becoming stronger and more spiritually discerned people. I'm praying that God will just fill up this baptismal tank and we'll see dozens of people baptized here at Still Heights in 2020. I'm praying that we will want to share our faith in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, and that we'll go out from this place excited about the mission that God has put in our hearts as his followers and as people of Still Heights Baptist Church, that we have a message to share, that we have a hope to confess to this world that so desperately needs hope. It's the noble heart that receives the word of God and accepts God's leading. That's the type of life God blesses. Despite all the terrible sins and mistakes that David committed, God still considered him a man after his own heart because he was repentant. He was repentant. David, who learned from his own deceitfulness, after David learned from his own deceitful and wayward heart, he charged Solomon at the end of his life, his son Solomon, who he's passing the scepter to. He was passing it from these failing hands to these young hands of Solomon, this man who was considered the wisest man that ever walked the earth. And David prays for him and he says, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion." I think the King James says perfect, with a perfect heart, with wholehearted devotion and what? A willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart. There's that spiritual truth again. And he understands every motive behind the thoughts. God knows our motives. He knows, folks. And he lovingly knows. Please don't have this picture. Walk out of here today and God's got the big stick and he's going to whap us. No. He's lovingly looking at our lives and he's cheering us from heaven, wanting us to succeed for the glory of his name. He wants to reveal himself to us. But God will test our hearts. He tests our hearts. George prayed here from Hebrews 4:12, about the word of God. Oh, the word of God. It's sharper than the sharpest of daggers. Okay? Cutting deep and swiftly into our inner thoughts and desires. It's full of living power. And illuminates our hearts and our motives and exposes us for who and what we really are. Oh, the word of God is sharper than the sharpest of all daggers, cutting deep and swiftly into our inner thoughts and desires, full of living power. He illuminates our hearts, exposing us for who and what we really are. The heart is the wellspring of life. The way we protect it is by living according to God's commands. Yet despite David's best wishes, we read in 1 Kings 11 that as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. Literally, Solomon allowed. Okay, let's not blame it on the wives here completely. It was Solomon who willingly chose those wives, and knowing that he wasn't supposed to, the Lord said, don't choose for yourself foreign wives who believe in other gods. But yet Solomon, enchanted by their beauty, brought them on. And what did they do? They bent his heart away from the Lord God. They bent his heart. And he had a divided heart. And his heart was not inclined to God as his father David's was. And this prevented him from receiving the continued blessing of the Lord. And his divided heart resulted in the dividing of the kingdom upon his death when his son took over. That's when the kingdom divided. What's bending your heart? What's bending your heart away from God? Is your heart inclined to God? Is it tracking with God? Because if it is, that's the type of life God blesses. Christianity at its nature is a religion of the heart. It's a religion of the heart. Salvation is received when we repent and believe in our hearts that Jesus was raised from the dead. Even when we pray, the psalmist instructs us, pour out your heart to God. Revival and renewal starts where? At the heart, when there's repentance. And where God's word is activated by faith and grace, a heart that is out of sync with God will produce a life of barrenness and missed opportunities, spiritual barrenness and missed opportunities. But when we come to the Lord and we're seeking for him, and our hearts, instead of bending away, bend to the Lord and are inclined to God, you know what happens? Our heart picks up on the heartbeat of God. And our heartbeat it starts to get in sync with God's heartbeat. And our heart beats for the same things that God's heart beats for. And there's a spiritual harmony that occurs in our lives with the Spirit as we're walking in cadence with the Spirit instead of dissonance. Dissonance that comes from disbelief and sin. And when we begin to discover the joy of living in God's favor and blessing, we just think, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your favor and your blessing. And yet the blessing is a double blessing, isn't it? Because for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen. Pastor Bonnie talked about that last week when she was sharing from 2 Peter 1:5-8 about how we add to our faith. We strengthen it. We fortify it. We start with saving faith and then we add to it love, and we add to it goodness and self-control and all these things. And just think of your heart being strengthened. That's how God strengthens our heart. It's this work of ongoing sanctification, we call it. It's becoming more like Christ. And if you think of a building project, and there's this big heart there in the middle of the building project, and the workers are putting up all this scaffolding around. And so the first thing, add to your faith, love. And then you get the next row of scaffolding. Add to your faith, self-control. Add to your brotherly kindness. And you put up these rungs of scaffolding. And now the Holy Spirit is working, has access to your heart, because you're working in coordination with God. And the work of the Spirit is transforming your heart and strengthening your heart for whatever the road ahead holds for you. God wants to strengthen our hearts. That's how he blesses our lives. And he doesn't bless us just so that we can become these cul-de-sac Christians. What's a cul-de-sac Christian? A Christian that lives on a cul-de-sac? No. If you live on a cul-de-sac, don't take this personally, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. It means a cul-de-sac Christian is where the blessing just stops with us, because there's no through road on a cul-de-sac. And instead, our lives are supposed to be a conduit of grace and truth that flows through us, transforming us, and then through us, we share that blessing with others, just like Abraham. Remember Father Abraham? He was blessed to be a blessing. The life that God blesses is intended to be a blessing to others. This is the life God blesses. And over the next 6 weeks, we will look closer at the scriptural principles of how we too can enjoy and share and grow in God's blessing and in his favor. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word to us today and these examples from the Old Testament of Asa, Solomon, and David. Oh, Lord, do your work in our hearts. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would awaken in us, Lord, a passion for your name in 2020. Lord, that we would have noble hearts, that we would have fruitful hearts, God, and that your name would be glorified here in this church and in our lives. Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We consecrate ourselves to you once again. God, we acknowledge to you today, we need you, Almighty God, come and fill us afresh with the power of your Spirit so we may enjoy you and worship you. Amen.
Would you stand and sing with us?
Endless worth, what you deserve. Lord, we can't pour. All I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within to the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'll bring you more than a song, more than a song.
Sunday lunch that's been lovingly prepared downstairs in the fireside room immediately after the service. So come, got to eat lunch, right? So come and join your church family, and let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you that we're people of worship, and we have a great and mighty God to worship and serve. So Lord, bless your people. Lord, bless us as we gather around the tables. Lord, thank you for those who have prepared this meal. Lord, thank you for providing it. We pray you would strengthen our bodies with it, and that you would sweeten our fellowship, God. We pray these things for the glory of your name, Christ. Amen. God bless you, love you, and I hope you all have a great 2020 for the